Hi, I'm Natalie.
I'm Lena.
And I'm Sean. We are three friends who all love film and thought it would be cool to discuss movies from our perspective.
We rate movies in terms of how drunk you need to be to enjoy them.
We call it the Martini Scale.
Yeah, you need to catch up.
I think that's just, I think we should just dive into it. I don't think this is it. Here we go.
Hello?
Lena's already wasted.
Lena, we're doing a live podcast right now.
Lena. So Lena is already drunk as fuck. This is the intro. This is it. We're not doing a countdown.
I think it's great. Sunday fun day, man. Totally. Sunday fun day.
This is the new Sunday fun day.
It's a happy day for Lena.
Lena, how many bottles of wine have you had?
I don't know, like 3.
In one day? What time did you start drinking?
No, I mean, I shared them.
With who?
I had 3 people, so I had a bottle of wine.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but I had... But I brought out 2 bottles. I brought 2 bottles.
This is the last of it. So technically 2.
So bottles. did we have 5 bottles between 3 of us?
Mm-hmm. We had,
because I had 2 3. Of those rosés.
Yeah. And I brought out 1.
Oh, okay. That's not bad.
So no.
It's a very mild day.
Exactly. It's not 1 each.
Is this some Pinot Gris you got going on over there? What are you drinking?
We started with a rosé Pinot Gris. And then I did bring it. This is the 4th one.
My God, sweetie.
Because I was like, I had that Sauvignon Blanc. This is the Sauvignon Blanc from.
Okay. All right, let's maybe get through this before we lose you.
Anyways, moving on.
And we're still drinking a martini anyway.
Oh my God.
I haven't even had the martini yet.
This is our level of commitment.
But it looks delicious and I'm so excited to drink it.
I can't wait to hear about the martini.
I am slurping it up.
All right. So since we don't have any summer blockbusters this year, we thought we'd pay tribute to one of the biggest stars of all time, a star that we will forever associate with the summer blockbuster, Will Smith. Are we excited for this one?
I love Will Smith.
So excited. So excited.
So Natalie, what martini have you made in honor of Mr. Smith?
Are you ready for this, Sean?
Oh my God, Sean. I was actually very proud of this one. I was like, this is a great one.
I feel like you're at your standing desk right now and you need to be at a sitting desk.
I love this one.
So
I think it's great.
The bar is so high because the last few have been so awful.
This one is so good. Sean, I really hope you like this one. I was so proud of her. I was like, it takes the cake for this.
Okay. Let me get my like monotone face and then you can judge.
Okay. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
This is the Bad Boysenberry Martini. Bad Boysenberry Martini.
Yeah, I get it. That's cute.
Yeah.
Cute. It's cute. What's
it's
in
good.
It?
It's fucking delicious. Well, I came up with a name before I knew how rare boysenberries were. So I kind of worked backwards on this one.
Can you put, isn't like boysenberry syrup pretty common?
Fuck if I know.
Boysenberry, yeah, like a maple syrup type thing, yes.
Yeah.
And also jam.
I wish I would have known boysenberry syrup was a thing. Yes. I got boysenberry jam because I was oh, like Knott's Berry Farm. I can find some jam around here. We're in SoCal.
Buena Park?
No. And then I started looking up boysenberry or jam-based martinis, and that's apparently a thing. I saw a bunch of these recipes online that it's all these different jams that you make into martinis, and I was like, oh, fuck, we're rolling with this, man. So I have some boysenberry jam, some vodka, triple sec, because that's just perfect for everything, and you really shake it up. You got to shake it really hard so that the jam and the vodka mix well.
There is a little piece of green in here.
I don't know what that's from.
I don't know what it's from either. It looks like a leaf. But look how thick that is.
Yeah, it could be from the berry.
Look how thick and delicious this looks.
It's quite thick and jammy, shall I say.
Well, okay. Let's keep it PG for the kids here. We had some issues last week. We got some feedback from the ratings board.
Oh.
Did we really?
No, I'm just kidding. You don't submit to the ratings board. This is our show. You run the ship.
Oh, yeah, and I added that. A little.
This is our show.
I add a little club soda at the end. Ooh. Just to give it a little bit of bubble.
Little bite.
Little bit of bubble.
I like
you
it.
You like it, Lena? You took a sip? Okay. I know you found the grain. Ma'am, I don't know what that is.
Okay, take it up. I don't know what it is either. It's delicious.
Oh, okay. That's good. All that matters.
It's wonderfully delicious. There aren't any seeds in my teeth after I drink it, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
And it's not thick like it looks.
That's all that matters.
It's very tasty. It's very tasty.
All right. So before we dive in today, let's talk about how things are going. I have some news that I want to get to in a minute. But how are you guys doing? How was your week?
I was on the low of the Rona coaster most of this week. So I with Sean, you just watched The Assistant. And that just made me a little depressed about this industry.
I was basically like, Natalie, did you write this movie?
I know. Well, it made me think that I should write an assistant movie because I have so much.
Well, I feel like you've been saying that for a long time about writing something about that. And even me being in hospitality, sort of Hollywood type, me and my friends, colleagues, we've always talked about, we should write some fucking book or something about this industry because it's just bonkers the things that people put you through. And watching that, it's been a while for me to like be in that. And I'm like, oh God, was that bad? So, and like, you just kind of live with it and you shouldn't have to live with it. It's kind of shitty.
No, you should not.
The movie's great. It's good, but it would be great if it wasn't real as it is.
I literally just watched it like an hour before we recorded this, and I was very excited because I had heard good things about it and like you guys had seen it, and I was actually like, I was pushing for us to do an episode on it this week, and you guys persuaded me against it, and I'm actually really glad because the only thing I can say about it is that it was 90 minutes of my life that I'll never get back.
Well, I just feel like talking about it would be so negative. Unfortunately, it's going to bring up negative memories and negative.
I mean, I think there's probably a lot to talk about. I just personally, I thought it was really boring and I don't know what I was supposed to do with what I had just watched. Like it was a really weird experience because I was thinking the whole time, I have friends that are assistants and like, oh my God, is this what your guys' lives are like? Because
yes,
dear God.
Yeah, it is. Unfortunate. And that's the unfortunate part about it is like,
ooh. It's the promise and the carrot of like this incredible future that you want for yourself while doing this menial bullshit and dealing with stuff that you shouldn't ever have to deal with because a million people would be in line for your job. That's constantly what's thrown in your face. So be grateful for the low pay and the bullshit tasks you have to do.
And wash my fucking coffee cup, bitch.
Well, and I think for me, like, I think the most tragic line in the whole film for me was the moment where she gets in the elevator at the end and the woman says, don't worry, you're not his type.
Oh,
thought like, oh, that sums really it up. Sad. That sums it up. That's why she'll never get it.
Oh, that makes me feel better about my whole life here. Thank you.
Well, it's a kick you when you're down moment where it's like,
and it's another woman kicking you down.
Yeah. It's not that she wants to be his type, but I think in the sense of like, you're not even worthy of that level of attention.
Yeah.
Even though that's not a healthy level of attention, you're not worthy of it, you know?
Yeah.
So speaking of attention, we've already given too much to this film as far as I'm concerned. I know. So,
agreed.
Let's move on. Lena, I understand that you have some articles. Actually, you guys, okay, so we had a fun excursion this week. We did a cooking night together on Skype.
Oh my God. Can we do that again? I wish we had the same meals this week. It was so fun.
Yeah, it was fun. We're doing HelloFresh, which we're not going to talk about anymore because they're not sponsoring the show yet. But
sponsor us, God damn it.
It was a good time because we had a fun night together and we chatted, but you guys mentioned in that night that you had a story that you were going to tell me and you're going to wait until the podcast to tell me. So here we are at the podcast.
Thank you for reminding
us. It's been on my mind the whole time.
Still don't remember.
Okay. So a friend of ours had let us know that they had ordered this very special artistic psychic drawing on Etsy.
Oh, I got it.
It's a psychic artist that would draw your future husband or your future soulmate.
Why have I forgotten?
And so immediately Lena and I were like, of course we have to do this.
We're doing this immediately.
As soon as I heard about this thing, I was like, I will pay money absolutely to support whoever this is that's doing this drawing.
What if they come back with like a blank canvas?
Okay,
I don't
hold
care.
On a second. The fact that this has not come back blank.
The fact that
I have the pictures.
This person has created.
You keep talking.
This job,
I have the pictures.
Yeah, the fact that this person has created this job. Good on you. So fucking fun. And you know what? You charge that $12 a picture and little description.
It's on sale for $11.99.
It was on sale for $11.99. So I was
okay,
like,
whose
obviously.
Picture are we doing first? Mine or yours? We have to show him one of
Let's
ours.
Let's do mine first. Let's okay. do mine first.
We'll do yours first.
Oh, I can't wait for this.
So this is, Arshawn, are you ready to meet my future husband? John, I know the audience can't husband. See this, but
we'll
ready?
Have to post it on social.
We may need to post it on social.
I have a picture of both of ours together, but yeah. Ready? So this is Natalie's.
Wow, he actually looks pretty attractive.
He's very handsome. I'm quite excited.
Okay.
I'm excited for you.
Very handsome is one thing. I think a little serial killery.
Well,
but
I dig it.
And very...
Any sketch like that, though, is going to look like a serial killer.
Yeah, the
Does
sketch
look
is...
a little okay. Jim Carrey-ish, though?
Let's just wait, Sean. The sketch is one thing. Let's just wait.
So to me, I kind of wanted to post something on social media like, does anybody know this man? And then
with no context whatsoever.
With no context.
Same. Same.
Are you ready to meet Lena's husband? I'm so
I can't wait. I can't
so
wait.
Now.
Is he a ginger? Because Natalie's going to be pissed.
No.
They're both brown. Black hair, brown eyes, both of them.
Yeah.
Oh, so she tells you the features because it's a black.
Oh, and they give you a whole description.
Is he on Jersey Shore? Who is that?
Dude, what the fuck? Is this Pauly D? Because I'd be so happy.
It kind of could
like,
be Pauly D.
What is up with this hair?
It could totally be Pauly D. That was
okay, we need to post these because this is like literally, this is ridiculous. Like, what is the hair here?
I'm sorry, Natalie, you got the hot one. Maybe Lena, you got the hot one back in the day when you were first married. But
hold on a second. You want to know who got the hot one? I'm not going to even like tell you who this person is. I'm going to post a picture. I'm going to show you the picture of this.
But Sean, we'll send you the link.
Why don't you guys do this for me? Fuck you.
Oh, we should have. That would have
been. We should have done it for you. I'm going to tell you right now. Shit, where's the fucking picture? Did he email it to me?
I am quite excited to meet this man. When I got the email, I was like, I don't know if I want to know what they think my future husband looks like. And then when I looked at the picture, I was like, oh my God, it's all been worth it. To get to that.
Yeah, yours is pretty hot, Natalie. You definitely need to post that and be like, do you know this man?
I know.
Are we still looking, Lena? What's going on? Here we go. Got a show to get to here.
Hold on. Because many girls did this. Oh, here we go.
A lot of we've made this guy a lot of money.
Is that the same guy as yours?
No.
Go closer.
He likes to draw really big hair on guys.
Yeah.
That guy's actually much more attractive.
Yeah.
He's very handsome.
Is that Joey's?
No. Wait, that's Joey's?
God damn it.
Natalie, the jaw.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, it's very funny.
It's so handsome. And then this is another friend of ours. I think this one's very handsome as well. Not who.
Oh, that looks like, what's the guy on This Is Us? Justin Hartley.
Oh, yeah, it does.
That's cute. Yeah. And then we have this one.
Saying whose names these correlate with?
Well, we're not going to do that.
I feel like this isn't fun for the audience listening, though, because they have no reference.
I know, but hold on. Well, I'm going to tell you who I thought was like, oh, no. Sorry, this is the one. What am I talking about?
Yeah, that's
about?
What I'm saying.
Oh, wow, that's one's not Joey's. Attractive. That's not attractive.
Oh. This is so attractive, and this is totally the person I know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm not into facial hair, though, so that's all of that's these a no for me.
Facial hair, so that's, every single one.
Mine doesn't have facial hair, but, and I okay, would choose...
This is, this, look how nice this drawing is, though.
Yeah.
And he is hot. This guy is hot. I
like that chin hair, though.
Okay.
The chin pubes. Okay, we got to do one of these for me.
Anyways, I'm just saying. Oh, we got to do it. Sean, it's really fun. And they also get the fun part about it is it gives you a description of the guy.
Like his like, personality. And the
guy who's reading or typing the description to you clearly does not speak English as his first language.
No, definitely not.
It's, I'm not like making fun of that, but it's not. It sounds very funny when you're reading it because you're
I mean,
like,
that's amazing. Here's what I will say. Natalie, you win this round, and I'm really excited to meet. What do we have a name? Do we know what his name is? Let's give him a name.
There's no name.
Let's project a name. Call him?
What do you think his name is?
Show me the picture again. Show me the picture again. Because I think if you show me the picture again, I'm gonna Natalie's like, I've got it in my favorites on my phone. Let me pull it right up.
Yeah, don't worry, I have it in my favorites.
I'm gonna give him a name. The second I see it, it's gonna come to me.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Are you ready?
Yep.
I don't think you're ready.
I'm ready. Closer.
I don't like his lips, but...
You know what his name is?
Hmm. Kyle.
His name is Elliot.
Elliot?
Oh, God.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know.
I don't like that name either.
Just what came to me.
I'm not a fan of that.
Okay, sorry for anyone named Elliot that might be listening. God, Natalie, rude. All right, so I have news. Tenet has been delayed indefinitely, and I need to talk about this. How do we feel about it?
So I just want to say
it's next summer.
So
come on,
the word indefinitely doesn't sound what it means.
Mm-hmm.
So the definition of indefinitely is like there's just no set date, but indefinitely sounds like it's never going to happen.
Ever, yeah.
Well,
that's
no, I think
my feeling on that word.
It definitely means it could be October, it could be December, it could be next summer.
I understand the Webster's version of what this word means. I'm saying it doesn't sound like that's what that word should mean. It definitely sounds so hard and like it's never going to happen. Don't get excited about it. That's my feeling of it.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the word, not the movie.
So I came across a really interesting article that I was going to just read an excerpt from. I'm already a little tipsy.
It's a really hard word to say.
You gotta get to our level, man.
Does Mama E help you with
that? Oh, no.
So the title of the article.
It's a joke.
And the title of the article, and I believe also the thesis of the article, which is also my strong opinion, is Christopher Nolan should release Tenet online. And I want to get your guys' opinion on this, but just hold off on a second, because this guy's theory is that Christopher Nolan wants to save cinema and an online release is the only way to do it. And basically, he talks about the idea that people are not going back to, and this is, I think my issue is that this is what I've actually been saying all along. People are not going back to theaters anytime soon. Right. And so Natalie, I know that your logic is, well, just release it next summer. You know, things will be back to normal by then. Do we know that? Because here's the other thing I want to tell you guys about. So we're in the midst of a pandemic, obviously. There was a study last week. So here's what I want you guys to keep in mind. Once we have a vaccine, which could be, ideally it would be late this year, but probably sometime in 2021 is when we're going to get the vaccine. 75% of the global population need to take the vaccine in order to have the vaccine be effective. That's clinically, like statistically, that's how it has to work. The New York Times recently took a survey and asked people if a vaccine were released, you know, in a reasonable time frame shortly, would you take the vaccine? Guess how many people said they would take the vaccine?
2%.
I'd say 55%.
2%.
50%. Oh. So that, I mean, that's a whole nother type of podcast, obviously, that we could, you know, have a conversation about. But as long as only 50% of people are willing to take a vaccine, if and when it's ready, like we're not in a good position to have our lives resume.
Well, those 50% need to be convinced this is actually a real thing. That's the problem. Those 50% think this is not real.
Well, that 50% though is also a mix of people who don't necessarily trust like the Trump administration and the people that are actually like manufacturing the virus. So there's a convergence of groups, right? So there's the anti-vaxxers and there's, you know, the crazy people, but there's also like a logical subset of people that are like, anything that Donald Trump puts out, like I'm not taking that virus because, or I'm not taking that vaccine. So anyway, different conversation for a different day.
Interesting, because I feel like a lot of those people that are Trumpers are saying they're not taking it because they don't want to be injected with the 5G.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Or with like a tracking device.
Yeah. And that's the reason why they're not taking it. Not because of any other reason, because they don't think it's real and they think that it's a tracking device. Mm-hmm. That's a whole nother podcast again.
It is.
But a lot of things I'm reading is from people.
Anyway, so again, this guy's, it's a really interesting article. I'll post it. We can put it on our social, whatever, but it's on The Verge. But the idea behind the guy's article is basically like, don't forget, Tenet is just a movie, right?
All right.
So while we all like are excited for it and, you know, we would love to see it in theaters at the end of the day, like it's ready to go, put it out, let us have the experience.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about that because I feel like people should be releasing, if you have a movie that's going to be released, I mean, I'm very torn because I'm like, also Top Gun 2, Maverick, whatever, was supposed to be released this year, right? Wasn't it supposed to be in July this year?
So. Yeah.
And they push it to July next year. To me, I'm like, I'm okay with that because I know this movie, I need to see this in a theater. And I know Tenet I should see in a theater, but I'm not, and maybe it's just me, it's my opinion. I'm not as excited to see that in a theater because I know how Top Gun and how Maverick and how all those shots are going to be seen. I know that style maybe. And Tenet, I don't know what it is. And like, I'm sure I need to see it in a theater. I mean,
it's Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, he's
so fucking cinematic with his scores and cinematography that it's his, he shoots to be shown in a theater with the right sound and the right picture.
But we don't have theaters. We don't know when we're going back to theaters.
I completely understand that. I'm not disagreeing with that. But that doesn't mean that in a year that this movie still won't be entertainment and fun in the manner it was meant to be consumed in a theater.
So let's say that it's July 4th weekend, 2021, and nothing has changed in terms of where we are with this virus. What then?
Honestly, like, I think that's a completely different conversation. If we're that far down the line and we still don't have a date that feels comfortable to open up other things, then I think that's different. You know, I think if it's delaying the picture a year to ensure that you're going to make the money back on the budget and advertising and publicity, it just, to me, and again, it's part of the business that I don't know as well. And I don't think people are as like forthcoming with how much money VOD is making. To me, box office numbers are reported every single day. You know how much money a movie is making every day that it's released in theaters. So you can, it's tangible evidence that this movie is making a certain amount of money back in its return on investment. So
with that, I have a question then. How much? Yeah. So we've had this conversation back and forth about how much you'd be willing to pay for a rental, right? We've all agreed that like $20 is too much for us. How much would you guys be willing to pay to rent Tenet?
Here's the thing. If it was $20 to like buy it outright, I'd probably do that.
Buying but it's not going to be an option though. To rent Tenet,
and to how, not much, keep how much would it, you pay?
Yeah.
Then no.
Natalie?
See, what's hard is that it's like for rental, I feel comfortable max being like $6.99 to $9.99 for rental.
For Tenet, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, it doesn't matter. And the other thing, too, about this is that like an in-theater experience versus a home experience is completely different.
And part of the industry, not everyone is going to have home theater systems like maybe you or I have.
Yeah, totally.
Like some people are just like regular TV, regular speakers. Like it's not going to be the same for them, whether they rent it now or later, it doesn't matter. Like, they're still not going to have sound bars and speakers and all that. It's just regular.
So this industry is based off of movies like Tenet, where it makes its money back plus some in theaters, where it's a completely different experience. It's an experience intended for a theatrical release. Then people loved that experience, and then they go and they spend the $19.99 or, you know, $15.99, $14.99, and then they buy it on home video. If you're only getting one transaction out of each of these consumers, there's no way you're making near as much money as you normally would. Because normally you have your their ticket price, the theaters have their concessions at the theaters, then you get their home video purchase.
Okay, so Natalie, I knew you were going to say that. And so I specifically addressed this article because he addresses all your concerns. And
really?
Get into that in a second.
I didn't even read that. Okay.
So I would say personally, and I, you know that I'm very much against the $20 rental. If Tenet were to be on iTunes for rent, and again, one-time thing, I'm not a fan of this generally, but in this instance, I would pay, if it were going to be in 4K Dolby Atmos, I would say I'd pay $24.99 to rent this movie. That said, so I'll just read a little bit of this excerpt from this article because it was actually a really fascinating perspective to me. So I'm going to share some of it with you guys. So he says, if Nolan wants to build a legacy, he should release Tenet online. There's a question of whether a streaming release could bring in the kind of money that Warner Brothers would need to make a profit here. An estimated $400 million. That's a lot of fucking money, by the way.
That's a lot of money.
In theaters, where studios generally get 50% of the cut, Tenet would need to make about $800 million, a kind of number that is unthinkable to reach by an HBO Max or an iTunes sale. But digital releases change the equation. Release a film for rental or purchase on iTunes, Vudu, or Amazon, and studios get around 80% of the money. Put it up on a Warner-owned streaming service like HBO Max, and Warner Brothers wouldn't have to share anything at all. True, no one has yet made the kind of money that Tenet would need to successfully make through a digital or streaming release, but no one has ever tried to release this movie, a movie as big as Tenet, in that fashion. Interesting point. We've already seen the financial potential of this kind of release. Trolls Worldwide made nearly $100 million in 3 weeks on digital. It performed so well that Universal is already talking about releasing films in both theaters and on digital platforms simultaneously, even after the pandemic ends. It's not a new idea. So this is the other thing that I thought was really interesting, is kind of a rebuttal to your suggestion, Natalie. A Sean Parker-backed startup, who Sean Parker, if you guys don't know, is one of the people behind Facebook. Well, Napster. He created a startup called The Screening Room, which proposed offering concurrent home rentals of films at $50 a pop that could be offered alongside regular theatrical cuts. And it had some support from J.J. Abrams, Steven Spielberg, Peter Jackson, and Ron Howard before eventually fizzling out. But it shows that there's a real possibility of a world in which streaming and theaters could live side by side. So I think that is the kind of the interesting perspective here, because the other thing to take away from this is that even before this virus, theaters were in trouble. Yes, you had, you know, big tentpole films like Avengers or like Lion King or Star Wars or whatever, and that helped kind of like prop up movie theaters. But generally speaking, like, movie theaters are not making a lot of money, right? So I don't know. I think there's something interesting to putting this film out on digital and seeing what a blockbuster film like that
could achieve. I think it's totally interesting. I think that somebody should try to do it. Do I think it's Tenet? I'm not sure. But is there a way that, like, there's some, like, home theater system that could be, like, purchased on, like, a budget where people are like, hey, AMC is now providing you with, like, this thing, and then you get that, and then you get these movies at a discount? Or there's some marketing there that can somewhat maybe happen, because not everyone's gonna have sound bars and speakers, and we all like that stuff, because watching movies
in a sense of, like, slightly a purist of loving going to see film in a cinema with the right sound and the right picture, which half the time they don't have the volume turned up to what it needs to fucking be, or it's a really old fucking screen or whatever the hell it is. But still, the fact that people are going to the theater and they're intending on watching something for this 2 hour, 2.5, 3 hour period of time, they have babysitters, they have whatever. When you're in your home, all of those variables are now just at at a whim, where it's just like your kids could come screaming in, you pause the movie, your sound isn't as great, your picture isn't as great, it's not as immersive an experience, and then word of mouth has now just been completely ruined because you didn't have the experience watching the film that was intended by the filmmaker. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I think
to be in a theater on a DCP hard drive that is projecting the picture, the color that it's supposed to be, the sound system that's supposed to be there, this is the most controlled avenue for people to kind of get their media across in the way that it was intended.
But is there an argument for people that don't actually go to watch these movies in theaters because they have children, because they have this, because they have that, that actually don't go to watch them, but now they're going to watch them in their home, whether or not they have to pause shit or not, and are now watching them that weekend?
Those people are still
instead of waiting for it to come out on video.
People are still going to rent it for $6.99 when it comes out.
But that's what I'm saying.
But you're missing out. You're missing out on the sales of people that are going to go see in the theater and pay that amount of money. You're going to miss the like concessions, and then you're missing those
people's words is one thing.
Yeah, but, like, and then you're missing that word of mouth of people talking about the movie and how they loved it, and then them purchasing it. So it's like a double dip transaction.
That more people might actually watch the movie now that they can watch it at home because they can't get a babysitter and because they can't go out and because they can't do that. And yes, they might have to pause it and whatever, but I'm saying, is that the argument of like, maybe they're going to be making up for that because more people might actually be watching it at home now.
I mean, from a marketing perspective, what if you just shifted the notion of like opening weekend? Opening weekend is now at home. It's not in
theater. Yeah.
I mean, that could be a thing, right? So a couple things before we wrap this up, because we should move on to our actual topic at hand today. I think with respect to the concessions, Warner Brothers does not make money on concessions. That's the
no,
thing.
I know that. No, the studio
the theaters make
the
theaters money on concessions.
And right, and so the, at the end of the day, at the end of the day, the distributor only makes half of the money that's, you know, generated in the theater. So there's something interesting there that I didn't know before I read this article.
Yeah.
Secondly, yeah. I would say that there.
I mean, I knew that, but whatever.
We live in a major city. Most of America, most of the people that are going to see Tenet are not going to see it on the IMAX. You know, perfectly projected, perfect color, perfect sound, right? Most people are not going to have the same experience that we would have in a major city. Mm-hmm. Last thing I will say is that there are people like my dad, and I want you guys to think too about not just necessarily people that are like our age and with our like, you know, budget, quote unquote, but like my dad paid $20 to rent like all the movies that just came out recently on VOD, mm-hmm. because he wanted to see those movies. And he was like, I don't care, I'll pay $20. So there is an audience. And obviously if Trolls made $100 million in its first 3 weeks, that was rental only. There's money.
I know, but movies make $100 million in a day or in 2 days. And that's the big difference. And then they'll make that much in home video separately. Now, I'm not saying all movies, but a movie at the level of like even Trolls. And I think kids movies is a completely separate argument because there's a lot of people that are would have seen in theaters to take their kids to like babysit them for a couple days, whatever, you know, or a couple hours. And then they're going to buy it on home video, not because they want to watch it, but because they want to entertain their kids and be able to throw it on the television. So it's like, again, you've got a double dipping scenario where instead if you're just buying it outright or renting it the one time, I mean, it's maybe not as likely.
I mean, I think my ideal scenario, if this were to go straight to VOD, I would love to see a scenario in which maybe it's like $30, but you do get to own it, right? So I understand that they want to charge you to rent it.
That's my whole thing, is I'm not going to pay $20 to see this movie one time and not see it again, because it's a 50-50 on that. Like, I'm going to pay $20 and I either hate the movie and I'm fucking pissed that I fucking saw this movie for $20, but I own it at least. Or I pay $20 and I fucking love this movie and I'm going to tell everyone fucking about it and I own it and I get to watch it over and over again.
Yeah.
It's a very fine line for me. Like, I just, $20 is a lot of money. I pay $20 to see 17 movies a month. Like, I don't want to, like, yes, in a theater, but like, not a lot of people do that. And I'm like, if you're paying $20 to go see one movie and you get the experience of a movie theater, then that's one thing.
But I definitely get that, but I think that in this instance, I'd be willing to pay a little bit more to rent it. But that's just me. I don't know. They'd have to take a broader survey.
Obviously. I mean, yeah, $24.99 would be the most, but I would also want to own it, even if I don't like it.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like at least I'm putting money towards something and I'm not wasting that money.
I will say, to end this conversation, for somebody who works in this industry and has for 15 years, I do not have my finger on the pulse of where we're moving forward. So I am not the person that knows the best way of like how technology is changing us and how we should react to those things. I go to the movies. I went to the movies once a week, if not twice a week. I loved that. So it's
like, if there was a test we can do before all of this happened, where you released a movie in theaters and at home at the same time, and then you could compare how many people are watching in theaters and at home, and then kind of go with that graph, then that would be really interesting to see.
I mean, I guarantee most people would choose to watch it in home, but they're also, again, going to get up and go to the bathroom and not pause the movie. And then,
but that also sometimes very comfortable for people. I'm like, I don't have to fucking pay attention.
But it's annoying. It's annoying.
Filmmakers.
Yeah.
So
annoying for like people watching movies.
And that's how a lot of people watch their movies. In the technology industry, there is a common held belief in July, August of 2020, that a lot of technologies and a lot of industries are being forced to kind of fast forward like a decade in terms of how we utilize those services or whatever. And so like the work from home thing is an example, right? Like it was speculated that within the next decade, like more people would be working from home anyway, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think you're starting to see certain industries kind of fast forward a decade, and we're getting there much faster now.
Which I do think that's such a good thing. I feel like
I do too. And so
have more free time and also be able to work.
Totally. And the truth is that more people do have home theater systems. I mean, I don't have $1 million home theater system. I didn't spend that much money, but I have a really nice TV and a really nice sound system in my house. And I feel really comfortable watching a movie like
that. And it might actually encourage people to get those.
But I also will say, Sean, because I know your viewing habits, how often do you pause a movie and come back to it the next day? How often do you stop a movie and not finish it, compared to if you were in a theater and were watching a movie and you would sit through the whole thing?
Well, I think that's a little bit different. I've never walked. I take that back. I did watch the Sesame Street. Happy Time Murders movie. Yeah. I walked out of that. But Muppets. Generally speaking, I don't walk out of a theater. I like the luxury of at home if I want to stop watching a movie
But that's what I'm saying. I feel like a lot of people would like that luxury.
Yeah.
And if AMC is selling a package of like, hey, buy our home theater system for this price, and then you get a year subscription of like at-home movies, that could be a thing.
Maybe.
I'm just saying.
We'll see what happens.
We don't know.
All right. Lena, did you have like trivia or an article or something for us?
I didn't really have trivia to say, but like I had a couple things where like they ranked his movie. Like, oh, we haven't even talked about what we're going to talk about. Should we say that first?
Second, but I also feel like we talked about this for like legit half the episode that I'm wondering, do we just move on to our picks?
We haven't even talked about what our episode is.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, we talked about it.
I did an intro at the beginning before Natalie did the martini. You're drunk, sweetie. It's okay.
Don't remember.
Oh, yeah, I am drunk.
I can edit whatever we want this episode to be.
No, that's fine. But I was like, I was really excited to say something about it, but I guess I was left out of that.
Oh, what were you going to say?
I don't know, because I don't even remember what you guys were talking about.
You weren't left out. You were just as the rest of us.
It's fine. It's fine. I don't have any trivia. It's just like articles of his movies like ranked, and they're all different. So it's very interesting. That's why I'm really interested to see what you guys have picked.
I was going
to
say, this is about us ranking his movies. So it doesn't
matter. Because, like compared to like those things, I'm like, I mean, I don't really like any of those.
So are your guys in order?
Fuck those people.
Are your guys' movies in order, like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1? Because mine are.
Yeah, mine are.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's just
I made note pages if you wanted to see my movies.
But okay, I didn't.
I saw yours. I just saw them right now.
I don't want to see them. I don't want to see anybody's. I want to just go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Each, and let's do it. So let's start with number 5. Do you want me to go first?
What's We're going
to
do five? Our, okay, great.
Okay. My number 5 is, so for my number 5, I wanted to think of a movie that wasn't necessarily his most popular movie, but it was something that I really remember enjoying. And I actually think I saw this film when it was in theaters a lifetime ago. But it will forever be kind of just one of my favorite, like, charming Will Smith movies. Do you guys want to take a stab at what it is?
No, charming.
It. Yeah, it's Hitch.
Hitch, I was going to say. Charming is Hitch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. So, and you know what? Like, I actually, the four movies, like my top four were like super easy to come to, but number 5, I had to think about like, okay, do I want to do like a cliched one, or do I want to do like, you know, something that's kind of like a deep cut, if you will. And so I picked Hitch for my number 5.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This movie is not on my list.
Well, it's a good movie. That's your problem, not mine. Lena, what was your number 5?
Suicide Squad. Oh, because
some people hate this movie,
a lot of people hate this movie.
I was not a fan.
But I will say, I remember watching this movie, and I watched this movie for two reasons. One, because I love Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. I love Jai Courtney because he's just hot. And my favorite all-time hottie of hotties is Joel Kinnaman, and he plays Rick Flagg, who's like the main like army guy or whatever, military, whatever. And I love him so much. And the whole time I'm watching this movie, mostly for Joel Kinnaman. And I just can't stop thinking about how fucking badass Will Smith is. And I literally was like, he's just a fucking movie star. I mean, you got Joel Kinnaman, Jay Hernandez, you have Jai Courtney, all these people that I love. And I'm like, I can't stop looking at Will Smith. Why? Because he's a fucking movie star and he fucking controlled that whole fucking movie. And I don't even understand how this movie wasn't about him. Like, it.
Truth.
And I don't necessarily think, I don't think it was as bad as the critics thought it was.
It wasn't as bad as people thought it was. And I feel like if you watch it, like, for me, I just couldn't stop thinking about Will Smith. I'm like,
I mean, Cara Delevingne. Great. Fucking awful. She was and that shit. Whole story was
she was terrible. Fucking shit.
But
Joel, Jay, like Jai, all of them were doing their thing. But Will Smith just did Will Smith.
What I always said about this movie is that shockingly, and like it's not like I was a crazy fan of Will Smith. I liked him.
No, me
and but going into this movie, I was more excited about other people. Mm-hmm. And when watching Joel it, Kinnaman. Yeah, Joel and when Kinnaman. Watching it, I only that you've got mm-hmm. everybody else on screen, and I'm mm-hmm. looking at him every single time, mm-hmm. and I was like, "Holy shit!" If I ever doubted his star power, mm-hmm. that movie for sure. Told me that he had deal. It for sure.
Because mm-hmm. he'd been gone for a while, I feel like. He wasn't really doing a lot of stuff. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, Will Smith in Suicide Squad. And no one's talking about him in this movie.
No.
Everyone's talking about everyone else in this fucking movie. And then he fucking comes on screen and you're like, how do you not watch him? He's so, like, just, you just want to know everything about him.
All right. Natalie, what's your number 5?
I don't know if you guys are ready for this.
No. Oh, I'm ready.
Am I ready for this?
No.
We're all ready.
So, I mean, this was a hard list to build, I will say. And I kind of fought back and forth of what the order should be. And I feel a little bit bad having this as number 5. But in connection with our martini today of bad Boysenberry martini,
no.
5 would be Bad Boys.
The original?
Number 5?
So I love it.
Are you making the franchise? Or are you doing 5? All the different movies?
No, I'm doing number 1, but none of the others are on my list. I know.
Oh, wow.
Isn't this like your favorite like franchise of all time?
Interesting.
No, how dare you even say something like that?
I thought you loved this franchise.
I like one and two.
We actually watched Bad Boys.
It was pretty garbage, but we watched one last night, and it's just, it's so fun. It's so entertaining. Him and Martin Lawrence are just so great. I just, and you know what? This is Michael Bay at his
Michael
best.
Bay.
Paired up with shots. Two people that really know how to entertain. So it's like, yeah. You can't really go wrong. You can
it
just
is sexy.
Enhance. Like, and I feel like the combination was great. So I loved it. So it's number five. I have a attachment or connection to other movies a little slightly more, and that's why this is number five.
All right, up next, number four. So for me, I will say that I picked a classic for number four. I think that this movie is perfectly representative of kind of like back in the day when he used to own The Summer. So I had to pay homage to this.
I can't believe this is your number four.
I'm dying right now. Can't.
So here's the thing. I got to tell you guys, I was never a fan of the Bad Boys franchise. So this is probably the summer film that I most associate Will Smith with, other than, of course, Men in Black. But my pick is going to be Independence Day.
How dare you put this at number four?
Number
Just wait till you see four? My number one. You're not going to believe my number one.
Number four?
Yeah, it's number four.
Are you going to be like 7 pounds or Pursuit of Happiness or something like that?
So let me tell you guys.
I'm dying. I would have thought maybe your number three or two.
No, my top three. My top three was very, very hard to itemize. And so my top three is very specific.
Shooketh.
I am shooketh. Yeah, just wait.
Shooketh for sure.
I'm busting out a little surprises tonight. I got to tell you guys, you're going to be pretty surprised with my top three.
OMG.
Shooketh.
OMG, I don't even know if I can talk right now. Like, right. Seriously?
Lena, what's
your number four?
My number four is a wonderful movie featuring Will Smith and a little robot called Sunny. And the movie is called I, Robot. And let me tell you, this movie is powerful and fucking crazy. And I cry in this movie.
I don't remember this movie.
Have you seen this movie?
Yeah, I know that
you guys have not seen this movie.
Yeah, I know that I've seen it.
I feel like you probably confuse it with AI, and it's not even the same.
No, AI is one of my all-time favorite movies. I would definitely not confuse that with this.
To the G. Okay, iRobot is so good. The way Will Smith, like, I don't know. He's just such a fucking movie star in this movie. And like with the robot and with Bridget, it's just like, it's honestly, it's, I watch every time this movie's on TV, I watch it. I love this movie a lot.
How do you feel about it though?
I love it. I love it a lot. That's how I feel.
But only number four.
All right. Natalie, what's your number four?
My number four has already been mentioned. What do we think it is?
Hitch. It can't be Hitch. Hitch is way higher than this.
Hitch is at my number four.
Is it really? I'm so glad I picked that.
Let me even talk about on your pick now.
So I would love it if you then could maybe, because I enjoy this film a lot, but I would love if you could maybe articulate
I can't
why you
stand
it so much.
This movie. So I let's love go. This movie.
It's funny that Lena doesn't like it. I think Will Smith is totally a fucking star, and I just think he's incredibly entertaining.
He's great in this movie.
Yeah, I think he's so entertaining on his own. To me, I do love that combination of him and Kevin James together. I think they're some of the funniest scenes that, like, stick out in my mind. Eva Mendes is not my favorite actress.
I love Eva Mendes.
I like her. She's not my favorite.
I would go straight for Eva Mendes.
Really?
Why?
Interesting.
She's hot, yeah.
Because totally. She's beautiful.
She's beautiful. She's stunningly gorgeous. Is.
We love her. She's beautiful. Mm-hmm. But you need to act as well.
Yeah.
Charlize Theron. Beautiful.
To me, I love that, like, he's trying to teach Kevin different. James how to be this, like, fucking suave dude. And those aren't the things that get the girl. It's just him being a good dude that gets the girl. It's just kind of, I know it's like there's this trope for sure of like these ugly guys with like super hot fucking girls, but I do love Kevin James, and it's like I do want the good guy to win in the end, and I kind of like that about this story, that it's not about the game that you play, it's just about being a good person and who you are, and then you'll be matched with the right person. And so to me, I do like this. I think it's really funny. I love their chemistry together. I really love this movie. And I think in Sean's perfect world of like glossy New York fun rom-com, this fits that exactly.
It's definitely slick and glossy. I will give you that.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's a great movie. And I think
his face is all blown up from the fucking shellfish and he's in the fucking grocery store.
So funny. Disgusting.
I mean, here's the thing. There's a lot of great Will Smith movies, right? We're doing an entire episode devoted to him. And I think we're all going to have different perspectives on what, you know, is more great than others. But I wanted to include this
clearly film. If you're in a fucking number four with
Well, I think, I mean, I'm really excited actually to get to our top three, because I think that we're probably going to have a pretty eclectic mix of what's in our top three.
Yeah.
And I feel very passionate about my top three Will Smith movies, like bar none. Like good. I'm committed to my top three and I will defend them to the death.
Okay.
That said, should we move on to our top three?
Yeah. What's your number three, Sean?
All right. So this is a film, that I was not necessarily, wasn't really a film that I was excited about, to be honest with you. I would actually argue that it was poorly marketed. I think that the trailer did not entice me at all. I think that, having said that, every moment of this film was actually enjoyable to me. And I do think that it's one of his best performances. I enjoyed the aesthetic of this film. The locations were a lot of fun. And I think that there was just an all around entertaining vibe from this film, start to finish. And I was really surprised that I liked this movie as much as I did. What is it, Natalie?
Bad Boys 3.
Nope.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Focus.
Pursuit of Happiness.
It's Gemini Man.
Oh, fuck. I thought for sure that would be higher on your list.
Did you guys actually see this movie?
Fucking
no,
said that
I
last
refused.
Night.
I refused.
It's such a good movie. In fact, it's in my iTunes. I suggest that you guys watch it. It's just, I think more than anything else, like... The aesthetic to me was like, I loved like being in this world. Like it was just very, I don't know. The production design was very well done. I enjoyed the directing. I enjoyed the acting. I think the concept, and again, the trailer did not sell me on the concept, but the concept is actually in execution really cool. He plays him and his younger self. That's like
Looper.
Whatever. I'm just saying it's a good movie. If you haven't seen it,
like Looper,
give it a chance.
Isn't that like Will Smith and like,
well, what's Looper is Joseph Gordon-Levitt and
Bruce
Willis. That so plays, this is like Will Smith plays both parts.
I know, but I'm just saying the concept of like the long, younger, sure. Whatever. Anyways.
It's, yeah, I think the concept itself of like the hitman order to kill the younger version or the older version or whatever. Yeah, that is a similar concept.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
All right, yeah. Lena, number three.
Well, we've already said it. I mean... The original Bad Boys, like Bad Boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Like, honestly, Will Smith at his like prime after coming off of fucking Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, like legit, no one knows this guy. He's fucking movie star. He's a TV star. He pairs up with fucking Martin Lawrence, who is a fucking comedian, TV star. They come on the scene with fucking Michael Bay with those fucking up shots with the fucking beautiful Miami. It's like legit one of the most beautiful creations of a movie that will only live in that time. But
yeah,
after that, it's like, well, Michael Bay is the fucking... whatever after that. Dumb. This part of like Michael Bay with Will Smith and Martin Lawrence and all of that, that is a whole nother level of movie making that was not done, and that was like genius to see. It's like I watched it, like we just watched it last night, the original Bad Boys, and I'm like, it's so beautiful. Like this shot of the car scene going from ground level. It's just like, who does that? It's just like, it's so great. And Will Smith is so funny and so cute.
I will say Will Smith is fucking fine in this movie.
Great.
He is so fucking hot.
Yeah, honestly, especially when he's fighting Martin Lawrence in that fucking, like, when he is in the little, like, pool outside of Martin Lawrence's house.
And they're all wet.
He's like, and he's got those fucking basketball shorts on and his fucking ass is out. I'm like, whose ass looks like that on screen?
Damn, Lena, do you need a glass of water?
Will
All right,
Natalie. I will say this for sure. Like, I mean, obviously, Bad Boys was already on my list, but reiterate,
what you gonna do? Okay.
This was Will Smith in his prime, God, he was like the costume designer. Everybody deserves.
Yeah, it was new. It was groundbreaking at the time.
So my number three,
but like,
my number three, I feel like should be higher on my list.
Really?
Yes.
I'm afraid of what you're going to say right now.
Uh-oh. I feel like it's higher on Lena's list.
I'm scared that you guys are going to say my top two movies.
No. It's Independence Day.
I knew what you were going to say then.
So to me, despite personal connections now to this movie, it's still a perfect movie in my mind. Like, I will never take that away from this film. This is a perfect.
It is a perfect. Summer.
It's a perfect movie. And it's written,
I don't care
so
what
well.
You think about anybody who made it, who's in it, whatever. Everyone.
I mean, it's
this movie.
Okay, let me be clear about something. It's no San Andreas, but it is a great song.
Oh my God. How dare you?
I'm throwing down my fucking microphone.
How dare you?
No.
So I will say, so like, and this is just a side note to this particular movie. Somebody that I work for that was involved in the film was teaching some film classes and showed this film. And a lot of the students in film school had actually not seen this movie. It was one which was shocking because I was like, I would hope that everybody has seen
this. Very shocking.
How can you be a film student and have not seen this movie? That's a disgrace.
But if you're
shocking,
if you're 19, 20 years old,
and you're a film student, though? Come on.
I know.
That's a disgrace. No.
But this isn't like fucking Godfather or something. This is a different type of movie.
Are you
serious? It's a classic blockbuster film.
And so I read some of the papers that the students wrote about this film, and it was just like seeing their appreciation and love for this movie 20 plus years after was really, I was like, I got really excited about it. Like, it just, to me, that was really, really cool. You know, not 20 plus years.
Wow.
I was going to say, don't age us too much. It's more than
I really aged us.
It's 26 years ago.
That's 26.
Was it 26 years ago? Oh, fuck me. What?
I think it was at least 25.
We are very old. That's all I'm saying.
When I said I didn't get that right, I was thinking it was like 15 to 16.
No.
Nope.
Oh, shit.
Man. I think something about Mary is like 15 years.
Let's not know. Something about Mary, I think, is even more than...
Oh, really?
I think it's 25 years old. Anyway, okay, let's move
on. If anybody hasn't seen Independence Day, you gotta watch it. It's perfect.
I watch it all the time. Like, I love this fucking movie. So, moving on to our next top one and two, or two and one.
Ooh, two.
I have a really hard time with these two.
I did too. I did too. My number one and two are like neck and neck. Like, this is actually like, this was really, really hard for me because I had to figure out, like, do I want the classic to be, you know, higher or lower on the list? And I still,
but
don't
you
know.
Already said a classic as your number five. So I'm not really sure.
But this one is actually another classic. And I think that, like I said, I think,
I'm
I love that we don't share a list because this is killing me.
I love this. It's killing me. I love it. So again, like I said, hard choice for number two, because it had not, had it not been for a more recent injury, I think that it would definitely be at the top of my list. One of my, this is one of my favorite films of all time. And I'm not even joking when I say that. I think that, everything about this film is perfect. I think that the writing, the directing, the set design, the cinematography, the suspense, and of course the acting, I think that this actually might be one of his best performances. I went back and watched it again recently to solidify my opinion on this. It holds up very well. And as far as I'm concerned, this film is a, I'm going to say it, classic. Do you guys want to guess what it is?
Independence Day.
If it's not Enemy of the State, I'm going to punch you in your fucking tit.
It is.
I don't think you've seen that.
It is I Am Legend.
That's not a classic. Motherfucker.
Oh, it's absolutely a classic. Absolutely.
That is a short story and it's not classic.
It is probably the best, like, quote unquote, zombie movie ever made.
Oh, my God. I will
After 24 days later or 48 days later or whatever.
Yes, ever. But, oh my God.
Again, it's one of my favorite movies. Can't help it.
Smith, honey.
Oh, this is absolutely one of his best movies. If without the scene with the dog,
Natalie, is this on your list?
If you could cut that scene out, I would absolutely.
This is number one. It is. Look at her face.
Spoil it. Let's keep going. Let's move on.
All right, Lena, you're up next. Number two.
I'm done. I quit. I quit the show. I'm done.
Listen, bitch, we've
what
got
is 100, your number two?
We have 100 resumes lined up
because
people that want your spot. All right, so Lena, tell us what you loved about Enemy of the State, because I'm curious to get your perspective, because again, I've never seen this movie before.
Oh, somebody yelled Enemy of the State.
They're pissed.
They might not like it. I don't know. I'm not
they
sure.
Did not like this choice.
I loved Enemy of the State.
Fuck them.
Because so many people are in this movie. First of all, Jason Lee.
Oh, yeah, okay. Jason Lee.
Well, I guess I should say Will Smith first. Will Smith, John Voight, Jason Lee, fucking Seth Green, fucking Cole Hauser. Like,
Cole Hauser isn't in it.
He's not?
No.
You're just making shit up at this point.
What am I thinking about then? Oh, Pepper? Gary Pepper, is it Pepper?
Barry Pepper.
Barry Pepper. I called him Gary Pepper. Whatever. Anyways, I love the whole cast. I think they're all a bunch of fucking dipshits, and they're fucking great in this movie. Seth Green. Oh, it's Scott Kahn.
Scott Kahn.
Scott Kahn and Seth Green together.
Jake Busey.
Oh, is that?
That's Gary Busey's son.
I'm not Gary Pepper. It's Jake Busey.
But Barry Pepper is in it.
Both of them are in this?
Yeah.
I get them confused all the time.
Yeah.
I'm drunk. I love this. Honestly, Seth Green and fucking Scott Kahn and fucking, what's his face? I don't know.
Jack Black?
Oh, Jack Black. So many people in this movie.
A ton of side characters.
I feel like I need to see this movie.
I love
Amy Kennedy.
And also Regina King. Okay. Yeah. I love her and Will Smith together. I think they're just fantastic. Gene Hackman. Will Smith, Gene Hackman, perfect duo. He's fucking old and he's fucking stanky and he fucking hates people. And Will Smith's like, I don't know what the fuck is going on. And Lisa Bonet, beautiful, gorgeous. This movie has got a lot of people in it.
Every time you say James Kennedy, I think of James Kennedy. You say Jamie Kennedy, I think of James Kennedy.
Oh, yeah.
Jamie Kennedy. Did you say Jamie Kennedy?
What was he, like 4 years old when this movie came out?
Is he in this movie?
Jamie Kennedy.
He is in the van.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but I feel like that's just this time of those characters, like that was like the group, right? It was like Scott Kahn, Seth Green, Jamie Kennedy, like they were like the young up-and-comer like kind of people.
Yeah,
being a big movie with like Gene Hackman, John Voight, Will Smith, like that's a big movie. Like I think it's a huge movie.
I feel like to when you watch it today, I'd be so curious, Sean, for you to watch this with totally fresh eyes, brand new, never seeing it before.
Wait, what you'd have feel. You never seen this movie?
No, I've never seen it.
You've never seen this movie?
I know. I'm excited to watch it. I'm literally going to put it on my list to watch.
Yeah. To me,
I watch this 7 times this month, I think.
Yeah. It holds up so well. Like, it
especially
doesn't
with the government shit.
Yeah.
Fucking,
it doesn't rely on like a lot of like surprisingly like technology and CGI that dates it. I feel like it actually still feels very relevant. It isn't shot in a style that's overly stylistic that makes it feel 90s, early 2000s. I feel like it still works today, like 97% of it.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, hearing you guys talk about it, I'm definitely like excited to check it out. I mean, I obviously know of it. And I feel like it's probably been, I've been exposed to it at some point in my life. I just don't have a recollection. So it's definitely something that I want to watch and see how it is.
Yeah, I fucking love this movie. Literally one of my favorite movies.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of one of my favorite movies, should we move on to our number one picks?
Number one.
All right. So I have to say that my number one is a movie that, again, it's pretty recent. I remember Natalie being so excited about this movie, and I remember seeing the trailer, and like I just know it did not interest me at all. I was never a fan of the franchise. I don't know. I couldn't get into it. And I will go so far as to say I was actually dreading watching this film.
I'm dreading what you're going to say.
And little did I know that it would almost instantly become one of my favorite movies of all time. And I know that that just completely lessened your opinion of me, and I don't give a fuck, because I cannot remember the last time I had this much fun in a movie. And I think this film reminded me, as if I had forgotten, but it reminded me why Will Smith is a movie star. This movie is A+, 5 stars, 1 martini. I saw it with you guys for the first time at IMAX, and it was fucking amazing. And it was Bad Boys for Life.
I literally cannot believe this is your number one.
It's my number one. I love it. Like I said, it was hard with I Am Legend because I Am Legend has such a special place in my heart, and it's definitely an older film that I just love so much. But I love this movie. It's something that, like, as Lena likes to say, I will put on in the background. It's just, I don't know. There's something about the vibe of this movie. It looks fucking phenomenal in 4K. It's funny. It's endearing. It's got hot people in it. Like, I don't know. It's just,
new kid they introduced.
Right?
He is hot.
Like, it checks all the boxes of like what I want in a cinematic experience. And it was the type of movie that like I didn't even know that I needed it, but it was such a pleasant, I mean, pleasant isn't even the right word. It was a great surprise. Loved it.
I mean, I will say watching last night the original Bad Boys compared to like that new Bad Boys you're talking about, the one that just came out this year. Great. I really liked it too. I very much enjoyed Bad Boys for Life for sure. But like, there's just a different cinematic level of like original Bad Boys and like who they were to like this one. I feel like they were a little bit more cheesy side with their jokes.
What's interesting to me,
they hadn't been around in a while and like together maybe and like had that like camaraderie like they did in the first one.
I think what's interesting to me is because I had not seen the first two, and like I even tried to go back and watch the first one, and it felt so dated to me that I just could not get into it.
Oh my god, how dare you say something like that on our Will Smith episode?
Sorry, I know it felt very dated to me, and it's one of those things where I feel like I would appreciate Bad Boys for Life even more having seen the first two and getting like all the like the subliminal jokes and the Easter eggs and whatever. You don't think so?
No.
Because you hate this movie.
I don't appreciate it more. For somebody who is a fan of the franchise and of these characters, I didn't appreciate it more.
Bitch, the fourth one is in production, so you better be excited for summer 2025 or whenever we get to go back to the movies, because we're going to watch this and it's going to be fucking fun.
Wait, are you guys comparing the first one with this recent one? What's happening?
That's what Sean was saying.
I just said it would be interesting for me to, because I never saw the first two, and so I think it would be interesting to go back and watch them and have context and get like the subliminal jokes and such of the new one. But when I tried to watch it, it just felt very dated and I could not get into it.
I definitely don't remember the second one, but we just watched the first one last night because we were like, oh, we're doing Will Smith, like let's watch a Will Smith movie. And I literally watched Enemy of the State like all the fucking time. So I'm like, we don't need to watch that one.
Gotta go back and watch Enemy of the State though. You have my commitment.
Dude, you really gotta watch it.
If you haven't seen Enemy of the State, then I implore you to please.
I will.
I mean, besides Will Smith being amazing in this movie, the movie is fucking great. The story of it, the whole background of everything and how things are like happening right now, it's very
crazy. I'd personally love to do a rewind episode of this whole movie.
It's
dedicated completely to Enemy of the State.
Let's do it.
I love it so much.
Let's do it.
It's so good.
All right. Lena, what's your number
one? Going up to our number ones, this is my problem. I have a very hard time with my number two and my number one. And like, I feel like I'm forced to say my number two is Enemy of the State, but I'm not sure. because I've always torn these two apart because obviously Independence Day is an ultimate fucking Will Smith fucking movie. And as it is, it's number one on my list. But I, when I go back and I'm like, I love Enemy of the State and I don't know how to compare the two.
Yeah.
They're totally different movies and they're totally different characters that he's playing. And he just keeps, he's really like up in the air with all of this shit. And I'm like, I don't really know. Independence Day is a much broader movie that everyone loves. So it's like, of course, that seems like a number one. Like it totally seems, I mean, not on Sean's list, but it seems like a totally number one type of movie. But I, that's why my number one and number two, I felt like as I was saying, I'm like, I'm very torn because I'm like, is Enemy of the State bigger or is Independence Day bigger? Like they're so like the same level for me. Cause I'm like, look, Independence Day, Will Smith, Jeff Gold, like Gold. I love him so much. I think he's so fucking goddamn fantastic in this movie and the pair of them. Although I love Will Smith and Gene Hackman together. It's like, they're really great together. But like Independence Day is so much of a bigger movie, I think, because people have made it a bigger movie.
I mean, Independence Day is a classic. Like it's absolutely a classic. And I acknowledge that.
Yeah.
And honestly, like that's what I'm saying. I'm like, I'm torn. My one and two are definitely.
And that was embarrassingly number five on your list, Sean. You should feel bad about that.
It was number
that's
four.
That's why I'm shocked.
You should feel terrible.
Okay. Let me be clear. It was number four. First of all, number five.
And I think that we had like different things. Like both of you had like Hinge and like I Am Legend Hinge. And like.
Hinge is the dating app, sweetheart. Hinge is the dating app that you're on.
I mean,
we're talking about Hitch.
I'm sorry, Hitch, whatever. Hitch is like cute, but like, well, it doesn't accentuate Will Smith for me.
I did
like,
completely disagree. Completely disagree.
In a rom-com setting,
I get that.
Yeah.
I understand that. But like, to me, it's like a number one and two of Will Smith is like, I mean, no one can compare it.
All right.
Independence Day.
Natalie, the bar is really high.
Yeah.
So don't fuck this up.
I feel like you, I don't remember your number two though.
My number two was Enemy of the State. We matched it.
Oh, okay. We matched it. So then your number one is?
My number one, Lena, you're not going to be happy. It's not even on your list.
I already know. Go ahead.
I Am Legend.
Yes!
Sean is so happy right now.
I know.
To me.
You said Independence Day. You can't leave Independence Day off this list.
This was close for me, Natalie.
Independence Day is number three on my list. It's hard. One, two, and three is very, very, very hard for me.
And my number one and two were like neck and neck. So
yeah. And I think in the sense of like, okay, if we're doing an episode about Will Smith, to me, there's something about I Am Legend and the fact that it's like this movie doesn't work without him, without an actor, of this caliber mm-hmm. that makes it so interesting and fascinating to watch this one person for such a long amount of time and care about him so much and be invested in this very quiet one-man show in a movie, you know? And it just, yeah. to me, this is the epitome of like what we talk about, what Will Smith can do and how he draws your attention in something like Suicide Squad, where it's like a group of actors and your yeah. eyes go to him. In something like this, there are not very many people that could pull a movie like this off, and he can.
And this was a summer blockbuster.
Yeah. Don't
forget that. Like, you know what I mean? Sorry to interrupt you, but I'm saying.
I mean, maybe it's because I read the book ahead of time and yeah. I pictured someone completely different. And the girl that was with him, I completely did not think that they worked well together.
But they didn't need to. She was in it for like 2 minutes with him.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
she wasn't in like too much of it.
I feel like she was one-third of the movie.
There's only three people in it. So it's just...
I mean, to me, like, I get it. Like, I love the story. I love the story of I Am Legend. I think it's an amazing story. You know, zombie movies and all that shit. To me, that's just my opinion. It's not on my list because I didn't feel like he brought anything different than anyone else that could bring this movie. I think
I definitely did. I don't think I'd be able to, like, I mean, maybe Tom Cruise.
But that's what I'm saying.
I don't think that there's any, I don't think there's a whole long list of actors that would really be able to do this. No. And so to me, and the fact that it's like, I do like this genre. I like that he kind of expanded mm-hmm. his horizons of what he was doing at the time. And it wasn't, you know, Pursuit of Happiness, you know, Concussion, Ali, all of these movies are good movies and he's done a great job in them. But I think that there's an entertainment level of this particular movie that just... I loved that he took this genre on and I thought it was so fun and I thought he did such an amazing job and was so entertaining. And, you know, for me, who's not emotional, getting emotional in the movie with his connection with the dog and all that kind of, I loved this fucking movie. And I thought it was just in itself, like feat in filmmaking to be able to entertain audiences at the level that it did with literally one person cast in it. Like, I just felt so impressed by it and the storytelling aspect of it, and most of that I felt like relied heavily on the actor. So,
and it was scary, let's not forget that.
Scared the shit out of me for sure.
Same.
So, and it is something that I do like to rewatch. I haven't rewatched it in a long time, but it's like I do. There were definitely moments that are like seared into my memory forever. And it's like, and I remember working with somebody who worked on this movie. And I was like, I just have so many questions about working on I Am Legend because I love this movie so much. She was like, this is weird that that's all you want to talk about. And I'm like, I'm fucking obsessed. Like, I'm like, your name is on this movie and that's fucking awesome. Like, that's great. You know? And I just, you know, Independence Day, all of these other things, they're so, so good. But this particular movie in the Will Smith wheelhouse of films, this is so much relies on him, you know?
So I have some trivia on this, actually. Do you, because you mentioned Tom Cruise, do you know when this movie came out?
I want to say 2008, 2009. I don't know.
Close. It was 2007. I had no idea it was that long ago. That feels like a fucking eternity. Mm-hmm. But no, so there were three actors that were originally cast to play the role, and I'm curious to know if you might know who they are.
Oh shit. Tom Cruise would definitely be a guess of mine.
Okay.
Lena, do you have any guesses?
Tom Cruise.
I don't know that you would guess them, to be honest with you, because they're not actors that were, I guess maybe in 2007 they were prominent, but today
you would never say like Brad Pitt for this.
Like but like today I could see Tom Cruise still like remaking this movie and it would still be great. So
I feel like Tom Cruise would be great.
It was like then popular actor.
Yeah.
So like Ashton Kutcher?
Nope. So it was
ooh,
Mel Gibson.
Oh.
Ooh.
Michael Douglas.
Oh, why are they old?
Well, they weren't necessarily as old, and you know,
they are old.
They're old.
2007.
They're
okay. So old.
And last but not
least, Keanu Reeves, I would believe more than fucking Michael Douglas.
Last but not least, it was
Keanu Reeves.
Tom Cruise.
Oh. Tom Cruise.
Okay. Yeah, Tom Cruise makes sense.
I could totally see Tom Cruise in
this. Tom Cruise makes total sense. I mean, but Tom Cruise makes sense for everything, so.
Oh, and we'll get to that in a future
episode. Call me crazy. Yeah. But I'm going to jump on the couch for this man. He, I mean, honestly, like, he's can do no wrong.
Yeah.
When it comes to movies.
I honestly don't think anybody could do this other than maybe Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
I agree.
I can't see anybody else doing this movie and having nearly as much.
The movie's a difficult movie, though. I mean, it's be with this person. And like, I love Will Smith. And, you know, you guys, I love this movie. Like, I read the short story. So I feel like it's just like I've pictured it a lot different. So, like, seeing Will Smith. And I didn't like the girl. So I think that really held a lot.
I didn't, you know, honestly, I didn't like her either, but I was so invested. I didn't give a shit. I didn't care at all.
I didn't feel connected to him in this movie. And that's fine. Oh. Like, I understand. This movie is a great movie. And, like, I loved the book. I, like, loved it. Or book, but short story. Yeah. I really, really, really enjoyed it. And it's a great storytelling, like, scenario, but like I just didn't feel connected to him the way I wanted to feel connected. And maybe because and this is the thing that I have with like reading books before movies come out, and like, you know, I'm not that type of person where I'm like, oh, the book's better than the movie, and the movie, like, but for this it was
I don't know.
I feel like the book is
a little better
than the movie. Like,
I'm annoyed by those people because there's no way that a novel that would be a 12-hour film could ever possibly give you everything you want.
But I feel like this short story of this, how scary this story is.
I thought this was a novel, though. This isn't a short story.
No, it's a short story. It's a short, short story. And to read that and be terrified.
I Am Legend is a 1954 post-apocalyptic horror novel.
I mean, I don't know what that, then I read something different, but I feel like I read the entire thing of this in a short story.
Yeah, maybe it was just so good that you thought it was a short story, but it's actually,
I mean, I definitely, it could be a short novel.
It's a short, I'm sure it's
short. I didn't read a novel, so
it didn't say how long the novel was. Is there a definition of what makes a novel versus a short story?
Because I don't read a lot of shit, so
this is not that podcast, but yes,
I'm gonna admit that right now. I don't read a lot of shit.
Maybe it was just so great that you thought it was a novel.
Anyways, either way, like, I felt a lot more like I've connected to, like, you know, it's fine. It's Will Smith, whatever. Like, I'm glad the movie was made and like people saw it, and like, I just don't feel the connection, and that's fine that you guys did. I'm not saying anything about
it. That's totally fine. It's one of my all time favorite movies. It's amazing. I love it.
Love it. Love it.
I mean, Independence Day is on twice a day, five times a week. Like,
yeah, it is.
All right. Well,
also Enemy of the State is too. So I'm torn.
I'm excited to watch Enemy of the State.
I cannot wait for you to watch this.
I honestly am shocked that you haven't seen it, because I feel like you would really like it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Sean would really like this type of movie. It's like super like actiony, but like government conspiracy, like shit. It's like really cool.
I will say, so I produce another podcast called The 4:30 Movie. And they were doing Gene Hackman week. And so they all picked their favorite Gene Hackman movie. And
did they pick this?
No. And so they like to throw it to me in the booth and ask what I would pick during all of these things. And I was like, clearly Enemy of the State. You guys, what is going on here?
None of them picked it?
No.
Yeah,
I mean, Gene Hackman's had a very long,
he's so good in this movie.
But I was like, they're all much older men, and I was like, this is obviously much more my generation's movie of Gene Hackman. But yeah,
oh, that makes me a little sad.
I know. I was like, this or Runaway Jury? I don't know what you guys are even talking about.
I'm kind of a little sad. Like, should I be watching more movies? Like, what is? This is such a good movie. I literally watch it all the time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this was a very fun episode.
Thank Will you. Smith.
Will Smith. We love Will Smith. And,
we did want to end it on something, Sean.
Oh, please.
Happy birthday. Happy,
happy birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Oh, God.
It's at Sean's. One of our favorite co-hosts on the Martini Scale. It's your birthday, and
happy birthday to you.
We're so glad that you were born.
Oh, thank
we
you.
We love you very much. Yes.
I love you too. Thank you. That's very kind. I was actually, these bitches forgot my birthday.
No, we didn't.
We're like, when's the right time to like say something or sing or?
That's cute. Thank you. Happy birthday.
You're welcome.
To me,
because now it's almost midnight, so it's almost your birthday,
quarantine birthday. Good times. All right, so join us next week because we have a very, very, very special episode in the works. Do we want to keep it top secret or do we want to let the people know?
The con guy.
Oh, yeah, she just gave it away.
Do we want to keep it top secret? Or do
we didn't, we're not talking about what we're talking about. I said we're going to be back on.
Good God, Lena. I just have another
drink. I thought we weren't going to say what we were talking about.
It's a collab. It's a collab.
Okay.
All right. That's all we're going to say. We're gonna tease it out. Tune in next week. Tune in next week for the drama. It's going to be great.
As always, we want to thank you for listening. For more information, please be sure to visit themartiniscale.com, where you can find links for all of our social channels, in addition to show notes and more.
If you haven't already, please head over to Apple Podcast and rate and review us. It helps others discover the show.
We'll see you next time.
Cheers!